The last line of the gospel tonight, our Lord tells us that where our treasure is, there also will our heart be. What a perfect way to begin the meditation of Lent. Each one of us can ask quite honestly, where is my heart? Where is my treasure? What really is most important to us? It's easy for all of us to be able to say, well, God, of course, is most important. Is he? That's the real question. In America, money, materialism, ease, pleasure, selfishness, you name it, that's what tends to be most important to a lot of people in America. And because that is what tends to go around all around us, it's easy for us to get caught up in that, or at least to be affected by it. Maybe God truly is our priority, but how much has the world snuck its way in? How much is it affecting us? That's what we're really being asked to look at. As we begin Lent, we have to also be careful not to fall into the American style of Lent, because we tend to focus on one third of what Lent is all about. The church teaches us that there are three aspects of Lent. There is the fasting, there is prayer, and there is almsgiving. We tend to focus on the fasting. And sadly, it's not even really so much fasting in the more technical sense of it, but it's just about giving something up, which is a very good thing. But what are you filling it up with? If you're letting go of something, what are you replacing it with? Because we all know in our humanness that if we don't replace it with something positive, we're going to wind up falling right back into the old patterns. And so that's especially if you're going to take Lent seriously and say, I want to work on some area of sin in my life. I want to get rid of it. What a wonderful thing to fast from. From sin. And so if we can look at that, then we have to say, all right, number one, what am I going to fill it with? But number two, how can I even do it? I know my weakness all too well. How is it possible for me to be able to do this? Only by the grace of God. And the grace is going to come through prayer. The wonderful thing is God isn't just throwing us out here and say, okay, for 40 days, just go for it. By your own strength, see how you do. By our own strength, maybe we'll make it till the weekend. But usually, probably by Monday, we probably would have messed up pretty badly. So unless we've got our prayer life in good order, so that we have that grace to be able to do what we're proposing to do, we're not going to be able to make it. Yeah, if you're just doing some perfunctory thing, big deal. Anybody can do that. It's not what God's asking of us. This is supposed to be based on our Lord's 40 days in the desert. He didn't say, well, I'll go out into the desert. Everything's going to be great, but I just won't have any pop for 40 days. No, he didn't do that. He went out in the desert. It's miserable out in the desert. And he had nothing. But what did he do out in the desert? He prayed. And that's exactly what we're being asked to do as well. To fill up that emptiness with God. Once again, it goes back to the first question, where really is our treasure? Where is our heart? Do we really want to be filled with God? Do we really want to get this other stuff out and have God fill it all in? That's the question we really have to look seriously at. And then there's the almsgiving, the charity that we're going to have. So if we're going to be giving something up, how are we going to express that? Because after all, our Lord told us, even when we fast, And notice he didn't say, if you fast, he said, when you fast. He said, don't look glum. Don't look like the hypocrites. They want everybody to know that they're doing this. Don't do that. And so we want to be filled with joy. We want to be at peace. But the Lord is asking us then to act in charity, because our fasting can be focused on ourselves. Even prayer, which obviously is supposed to be focused on God, we can turn and make that something selfish. And so the almsgiving, that's the charity that we practice. And it doesn't necessarily have to be giving money to the poor or something. That's a wonderful thing to do. But maybe you don't have a whole lot of money to give to the poor. Fine. But what kind of charity are you going to perform? And toward whom? That's something, again, we can all look at. Are we really finding an expression to what it is that we're doing? If we're going to pray, and remember the whole point of prayer is not just help me or give me or I want. The whole point of prayer is loving God. It's learning to love God more. Well, the more you love somebody, the more you're going to have to express that. So if we're going to love God more, then that's going to overflow into our love for neighbor, and it has to find some kind of expression. And so, again, that whole area of charity. One suggestion may be that if you find yourself to be, whether it's an angry person or an impatient person or just a snippy kind of person, maybe the charity is toward the people at the office or the people in your own home, to say, I'm going to try to be kinder. I'm going to speak with a more gentle tone. I'm not going to have my words as harsh. That might be the charity you can start working on to practice toward the people that are right there. You don't even have to go out and look for somebody to be charitable to if that's the case. But whatever it is, again, bring that to prayer and ask the Lord, how does He want you to express what's going on? What kind of charity is He asking of you? Because each one of us might be a little bit different based on our circumstances. God might ask you to go and do something with the poor. Maybe He's asking you to volunteer at a food shelf or at a soup line or something. And so maybe there's something like that that He wants you to do. Maybe He wants you to look at all of the materialism that you've gathered and give it away. Find a poor family that maybe could really use the help. I'm not saying get rid of all your junk. Well, most of it is, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying things that could actually be helpful that maybe you've got two or three or four of because you absolutely needed them. Maybe you don't really absolutely need them, but somebody else could benefit from them as long as you have them. It's things like that that all of us can look at. Where's the charity? How much charity am I really practicing? Because the saints will tell us that if we want our prayer to have power, we need to fast. It's the power behind the prayer. But then that has to have an expression, and that's going to be in the almsgiving. So maybe given our circumstances, we need to broaden those terms out a little bit and think about what that means. Because maybe fasting from food isn't necessarily something that's that big of a deal for you. Maybe then fasting from video games if you're a teenager. Or maybe fasting from the computer or fasting from whatever. Again, just look at your own life and ask yourself, where am I really putting my focus? Maybe that's what needs to go, or at least it needs to be curtailed. And if you see that there's something that's becoming kind of an addiction of sorts, then we need to pray. And the prayer is absolutely central. This isn't secondary. The Prayer has to be first. So that's, they all work together. Each one is good in and of itself, but if we really want it to be able to have the fullest expression, that's where it needs to be, all three together. And that's exactly what our Lord presents to us, and that is exactly what the church presents to us. When the church looks at and asks us to live this 40 days in union with our blessed Lord, we started out very publicly as we are. Now the next 40 days are very private. And that's exactly what our Lord said. Go to your room, close the door, pray to your Father in secret. Don't be doing things to gain attention, just do them quietly. And God, who sees it in secret, will reward you. It's a private thing. And so that's why the church allows each one of us to look at that and ask the question about our own life. What needs to be adjusted in my life? What is it that I should be doing more for love of God and love of neighbor? Those are the kinds of things we have to look at. It all comes back to that same question. Where's your treasure? Because wherever the treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And so look seriously at that. Because even for the Old Testament, the Jewish people, the Lord called to them through the prophet Joel, as we heard in the first reading, and said, rend your hearts, not your garments. The outward show, that's all it is, it's an outward show. Anyone could look impressive. God isn't interested in what we look like. He's interested in the heart. He's asking us to tear our hearts open, to open them up, to be able to receive what he wants to give us, but to be willing to give, to have that charity. That's what happens in prayer. It opens the heart. If we're not just going through the motions of prayer, but we're really opening our hearts, that's going to begin to change us, to be more charitable, and to have the grace to be able to do whatever it is we're trying to do. So look beyond just what we tend to think about as Lent, as Americans. It's not merely a matter of what are you giving up for Lent, but really what are you doing for Lent? What's your prayer life look like? What's your charity look like? So give up the selfishness. Give up the sin. Replace it with charity. Greatest work of charity is prayer. So if we've got the prayer in there as the priority and we're saying, I want God to be the treasure, I want him to be my priority in life, then make him that. That's what this time is all about. It's making that change within our own hearts to be able to get things right. If we've gotten off track, if we've allowed the world in, whatever you want to say, this is where we can make the adjustments and get things proper. So if we really want God to be the treasure, then let's get our hearts focused on God. Not just by giving something up, which is a noble thing, but fill that area with something far greater. Fill it with prayer and let it be expressed in charity so that by the end of Lent, our love of God and our love of neighbor is going to be on the right track to keep us working in that same way through the rest of the year.